Hello, I'm Chris Lappin, and welcome to the VT Football Podcast.
Beckham into Sheringham, and Solskjaer has done it!
Leicester City have won the Premier League.
Goals against Emil Heskey, could it be five? Yes, it is!
Frank De Boer singing out Dennis Bergkamp. Oh, that's brilliant! Oh, that's wonderful!
Join me this week, I've got Anthony Kendrick.
Hello.
And Richard Hill-Hudson.
Good evening.
You both well?
I'm very well, myself.
Yeah, very good. A little scary early this week, had an asthma attack, but good.
Sorry to hear that.
A little bit scary, but all good now.
Did you sound like Darth Vader?
Sorry?
Did you sound like Darth Vader?
Up until about yesterday, I started sounding like Darth Vader. I think I'm alright now. So. Yeah, they got me a lot of drugs, I'm all roided up, so... Right. So before we get into your thoughts on the opening weekend, two stories have caught my eye this week. Wayne Rooney has been banned from going to his son Kai's football matches by his wife Colleen. She said she's banned him from attending Kai's matches because he has upset his son in the past.
Yeah. I think he's a proper soccer dad.
Oh, I can imagine him swearing at the ref. Who do you know who I am?
I once went along to Chester Races, and the entire Rooney clan were along there for the day.
Yeah.
And it looked like several different versions of Wayne Rooney, just like a Guess Who version of Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
Like one just had a bit more of his forehead, one had a bit more hair. It was in the champagne tent, and all the women there all had like blonde bleached hair extensions, and two of them ended up pulling them out of each other, rolling around on the floor, having a scrap. It was great fun.
Do you think Kai Rooney will be banned from Everton games then in that case? If he can't go to his son's games, surely he shouldn't be allowed to go to his dad's games either.
Maybe. It would be good if he's been the good luck charm he's had so far this season, because he's played well.
Yeah, to be fair.
Right. Yeah, she said this during an interview she did with the Mail on Sunday. She said she has to keep him in line and tell him when she doesn't think something's going great. Right, and the other one was Mats Hummels is the first player to join Man United's Jan Mata in pledging to donate 1% of his wages to charity.
It's a really nice cause. I've been following it on Twitter and stuff, and it seems like they want to do a lot of good throughout the world through football. It's not just about just about the footballers giving 1%. They're trying to do a lot, I think, to try and do a lot of good around the world through football. And I think it's a fantastic cause. You know,
yeah.
I'm sure other players are going to follow it as well. It's a nice cause, and I think the thing what annoys me is there's quite a bit. I was looking at it today on social media. There's quite a few people who are having a go because 1% of their wages to charity isn't good enough, and it should be more. But I think that's a bit of a joke.
50% of the wages goes in tax.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
how many people out there give to charity? Give 1% of their wage, annual wage, to charity. There's not many. And I think it's a fantastic cause.
Yeah, I think it's something we should discuss more as more details come out about it. We could
definitely.
It's like, what degree do you... Like people say, footballers should give more. It's like, there's a certain amount of footballers that are on an absolute astronomical wage. We all know that. But, Sunday League footballers, do they have to now give 1% of their wage to charity? Mm-hmm. Where's the cut-off if you're wanting to enforce it upon everyone? It's a great gesture. They don't have to do it. They are, two of them have now come forward and doing it. Brilliant on them.
Mm. I read that Jan Mata wants to make an official 11 out of it or something. I need to read into it a bit more. But actually.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, I know that's the target. Yeah, to have an 11 players. But Mata in general is a decent guy. You can just tell he's a lovely guy. Like I remember when I used to work at United, he went and visited a member of staff to celebrate, I think, his 20th year working there or something. And he just went to surprise him on the day and gave him this little trophy as a congratulations sort of thing. And he just, you know, he was clearly the guy out of all the dressing room at United who, you know, wanted to do stuff, just wanted to spread joy, make people happy. And, you can see it in his interviews and stuff. You can see he's clearly a decent guy.
Yeah. Right, so should we go on to... So we'll start with our thoughts of the opening weekend. So I know it's only one match in, but have any of your predictions changed from last week based on last week?
I don't think so, because I said City would win the league with United second. I said that... and I said that Chelsea wouldn't finish in the top four. So I think I've done okay so far. I said as my bold prediction that Rooney will score two or three goals all season. I think I might have to change that. Broadly, I'm quite pleased with what I've predicted so far.
Yeah, I'm sure many a player have scored on the first day and never scored to get the rest of the season.
So. We can hope.
It depends how advanced they're going to play him. We'll discuss in part two about Sigurdsson coming, but they might have to play Rooney as the main striker with Sigurdsson and Classic behind them.
Yeah.
Well, I went for City. I went for similar with City first, United second. That's looking fairly strong at the moment. Obviously, only one game in. I have Chelsea third. I think they'll still pull it around. Huddersfield, I think, have been the shocker so far.
Call Huddersfield to beat the drop. Sorry to me, I told you so, but I didn't say Huddersfield will beat the drop. And, you know, they've won the first game, so yeah.
Oh, yeah, I said Huddersfield will beat the drop as well.
I put down Pogba for player of the year. I think he's going to do it.
He did have a good game. I think many United players had a good game, though. I mean, Rashford I was really impressed with, and the two obvious star performers were Matic and Lukaku. But I think United as a whole looked like a fantastic team. And yeah, you know, if United do go on to win the league, then I'm sure Pogba will be one of the big contenders.
Do you think with Rashford we could be in a bit of a danger of turning him into like the next Danny Welbeck, where he's more of a fast winger than a goal scorer?
No, I think he's a different kettle of fish to...
No, if you just say if he doesn't get the play the number nine role more regularly over the next couple of seasons, he might just lose this scoring touch, maybe. I
think with Welbeck, it's a different case. Like, he was clearly a good player, but doesn't have that, almost that magic, that spark about him. Rashford clearly has that spark and, for me, will go on to be something special. I think it was clear Welbeck would go on to be a good player, which he is, but he's not a world-class, a special talent like Rashford clearly is for me.
Yeah, he's more like... Lingard's more like him.
Yeah, all right.
Than Rashford was.
Yeah, another question that came out of the weekend was Wayne Rooney had one good game, so should he be back in England squad?
I think he probably... obviously off one good... I don't think he should be in it off one good game, I think he's definitely, your pick four or five strikers in an England squad, and he certainly deserves one of them places. You know, Harry Kane and Marcus Rashford are shoo-ins always for England, but he certainly deserves to be on there. But yeah, I'm sure, I don't know, it kind of contradicts what I'm saying before about me predicting he'll only score a couple of goals all season, but, you know... I don't know when the England squad's next picked, but he's certainly got to be in consideration. I don't see why not. He wants to be.
Yeah, I'm sure we've got a couple of qualifiers in September, haven't we?
The end of September. I'm not sure exactly when the squad's picked, but I think, Rooney, say what you like about Wayne Rooney, but he's someone who clearly cares about England and will do his best, and he'd never miss a game, unlike other great players we've had. He's one who is very proud to put the shirt on, I think, and that often gets overlooked.
So last week we asked our listeners to vote on who's going to have the best season out of Lacazette, Lukaku and Morata. So who do you think had the biggest impact of the opening weekend? Should we power rank them 1 to 3?
Lukaku first.
Yeah, obviously. I think you've got to say Lukaku first. Morata came on and did well, I think. I think Morata did well, but it's... It's hard to judge because, he came on, did well, but his team were 3 goals behind.
Man down. So he won. Were they two men down or one?
Didn't he absolutely fluff one though as well?
He did. Yeah. To be fair, I don't know. I'd put Morata over Lacazette based on that performance. I think Morata came on and made a bigger impact, whereas I think Lacazette's impact, I know he scored in the whatever minute it was, straight away, basically.
Yeah.
But for me, he was overshadowed a bit by Giroud coming on and, you know, scoring what proved to be the winner. So for me, I'd put Morata over Lacazette. Even though he didn't get something for his team out of the game as such, I think he did turn the tide and helped turn the tide.
I'd go the other way around with those two, but Lukaku having obviously the biggest impact so far.
Yeah, I'll do
obviously.
I'll do the same as Hero. So.
Okay.
All right, so it's time for our first Premier League Performance of the Week. Anthony, who was nominated this week?
Okay, we've got Nemanja Matic against West Ham for his performance for United. He was picked for the poll over Pogba, Rashford and Lukaku. We've got Steve Mooney for his couple of goals against Crystal Palace at the weekend. Wayne Rooney for having one good game against Stoke. He scored obviously the winner in that. And finally, Stephen Ward, the Burnley left back, for his performance in their shock win over Chelsea.
I went for Matic.
Yeah, I went for Steve Mooney. I don't watch French football, so I've never seen him play at Montpellier. But he does remind me of a young Drogba, possibly. Maybe a bit quicker than Drogba used to be.
I thought Mooney had a good game. My pick personally was Stephen Ward, and I thought he was terrific against Chelsea. Mm. But 61% of people disagree with me and went for Steve Mooney, who won it.
Lots of Huddersfield fans.
It was hard to
whittle it down to four this week. There were so many good performances on that opening day. So.
Mm-hmm. I think we could have picked four Burnley players or four United players, to be honest. Rooney only got 3% of the vote, though, so you know, not many Rooney fans listening to this podcast.
I'm new for this season. We're running a poll for Villain of the Week. Who's heroes? Who was nominated for this award?
This week there was Ronaldo for his pushing the ref, well, red card and then pushing the referee over.
I was going to say he didn't push him over. He pushed him, but he didn't push him over.
Yes. Yeah, apparently he only got a four match ban because the referee's report said he only hit him lightly. He could have got up to a 12 match ban.
Neil Lennon for his comments after the game as Hibs manager. Gary Cahill for his red card, and John Joe Shelby for being Lord Voldemort. Cahill got 7%. Neil Lennon 12%, Ronaldo 26%, and he who shall not be named, John Joe Shelby, got 55%.
I do think it's disgusting when players stamp on each of his ankles. It's like chat livelihood. It's like, oh.
I think the thing about it was a crap stamp, wasn't it? It was almost like a step, and I could understand him doing it if the ref was like on the other side of the pitch, but it was just a stupid thing to do with the ref a couple of yards away. And Dele Alli was being a little, I don't know what language you want me to use, but he wasn't being very nice in that game. I thought he was being, I don't want to say deserved it, but he's
a scamp, isn't he, Dele Alli?
He's a scamp, that's a good word. That's a good way of putting it, I thought in that game particularly, though, he was being a bit theatrical for my liking. I was kind of a bit, I don't know, it sounds like a horrible thing to say, but I kind of almost wish it was a little bit harder. But I don't know, I'd have been tempted to nominate him for Villain of the Week, maybe, Dele Alli himself. My personal thoughts were Neil Lennon, but I guess not enough people watch Scottish football for it to win.
We could have nominated the whole Motherwell side, because they finished with 8 men against, I want to say St Johnstone, but I don't follow Scottish football.
John Joe Shelby, though, he does look like he could be a Bond villain.
Yeah. If you had to say guess their age, you wouldn't say... Is he still in the early 20s? Probably. Felt he's 25 yet, is he?
So. I don't know. I'd admired he was 27, but I don't know.
I don't think he was that.
It's like that Lazio player who said he was like 17.
He was 43.
He looked like he was about 46.
I remember it.
Chris, you're right. He's 25.
Yeah, I thought he looks older than he is. Alright, so in part two we'll be discussing the Sigurdsson transfer, Johnny Evans being wanted by Man City, and Zlatan possibly re-signing with United. But first, we're going to do the first round of Son of the Pitch.
Hello, this is Adam Virgo and you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
Okay, so the transfer window's been open for quite a while now, a few weeks left.
Yeah.
I'm going to base this one on the 10 highest transfer fees for this summer for certain divisions.
Okay.
You've got to tell me the 10 players for that league that have got the highest transfers coming into that league.
Uh-huh.
You could already be in the league and then move to another club within the league.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's incoming transfers, basically.
who would like to go
first?
I'll go first, I guess.
Okay. You've got La Liga.
Can I not have La Liga, because I don't watch La Liga.
So, how many of the top 10 transfers this summer in La Liga can you name?
I'm struggling myself, to be honest.
The La Liga this summer, I'm actually really quite surprised by. It's just not happening yet.
No.
That's a harsh question.
Come on, you can get some.
Chris is going first, right?
Yeah.
All
right.
If he can think of a transfer.
I'm trying to think of a transfer.
What, just to give us a bit of a clue, can you give us the minimum, what the 10th place one is, just so we know what we're...
This is based on what Transfer Market have said as the values that they've gone through as the base value. So there might be add-on fees. So the lowest one was 11.25 million for 10th place.
Ooh. Okay, that's fine. I know.
I could tell you lots of rumoured transfers going to Barcelona. I can't think of any.
You must be able to think of one person that's joined Barcelona this week.
No, I'll have to have another thing. Sorry.
Pass it over to Anthony.
Yeah.
I'll leave the obvious one, which moved this week. I'll go for the right back. Semedo joined Barcelona for 20-something million, I believe.
Yes, Nelson Semedo joined Barcelona for 27.45 million. Come on, Chris. Do you want me to give you a clue on a player?
Please. Who did he move from?
He moved to a Chinese club.
He moved from a Chinese club?
Yeah. The most expensive summer signing so far in the Spanish league this year moved from a Chinese club.
He was playing in China.
And he's the fourth most expensive signing that this club have ever bought. He managed to do about four keepy-ups, then lost the ball. He once played for Spurs.
De Santos? No.
No. Well, I'll throw it back over to Anthony, who's going to tell you.
Okay. I'm trying to think if there's any others. Obvious one. I'm sorry, I've got to say it. Paulinho.
Yeah.
Paulinho.
Moved for
36 million, was it?
Yeah.
How much?
Barcelona fans are up in arms about it.
36 million for Paulinho.
Yeah, Paulinho.
The midfielder couldn't get in the Spurs first 11.
What? The Spurs fans laughed at out of White Hart Lane.
Yeah.
I'll give you another clue for yours, Chris. You're struggling a bit.
It's one that
used to play for West Ham, and he couldn't score. He wasn't particularly good at penalties.
Oh, what's his name? He used to play for Juventus.
Yeah.
And his name is... Ah. I see his face. He's bald. And his name is... It's like Zaha or something.
I'll let him off one letter.
Should we let him have that one? Zaza.
Zaza. I don't watch European football.
Come tell on this.
That's why I don't do the European football show.
back to you, Anthony.
For the win.
I'm trying to think who Real Madrid have signed. I can't think of any major signings they've made. I feel...
A couple so far. Two of which are in the 10.
I can't think. I don't know if he's moved or not. Vitolo.
Yes, he's number 2 on the list. To Atletico Madrid, 32.4 million.
Uh-huh. He's immediately been sent out on loan, hasn't he?
Because they can't register anyone till January, can they?
Yeah, so they signed him for that, and then he was immediately sent out on loan. That's why I wasn't sure. Yeah.
Because that's what that Costa wants to go to.
Come on, Chris, you've got it now. Right, Real Madrid have bought two.
Yeah.
Villarreal bought two, one of which was a Manchester City sort of youth player that never really made it at the club. Got loaned out. Turkish young lad.
Yeah, remember us talking about him about 2 years ago. Next big thing. No. Finished my worst ever quiz performance. I've been in a hospital this week. They had no television.
I'm trying to think who Real Madrid have signed, but I just can't, for the life of me, think who.
It's one of the two brothers.
I'll just say Unal, because I know that's right.
Yeah, that's right. And it's Unal.
He must have won by now. I've only got one.
Yeah, I think Cantona has won this. The top ten basically are, in 10th was Simon Kjær,
yep,
the Danish centre-back, 11.25. Enes Unal, 12.6. Ruben Semedo, 12.6 to Villarreal. Samantar to Valencia, 14.4. Danny Ceballos, the quite exciting central midfielder, has joined Real Madrid. Luis Muriel has joined Sevilla, 18 million. The other one for Real Madrid that you're thinking of is one of the brothers, Theo Hernandez, 27 million. Nelson Semedo to Barcelona, 27.45. Vitolo to Atletico and then shipped out, 32.4. And the current most expensive player this summer in Spain is Paulinho.
You just wanted to use that. You just wanted an excuse to make Paulinho the best somehow, make him a winner. He wasn't much of a winner at Spurs, was he?
I think it does say something though about La Liga at the moment.
Something about Barcelona at the moment. They're on the ropes.
You can compare it to some of the other leagues of what's happening, and you know we're sort of thinking of the Premier League being lots of transfers going on, and then you look at sort of like PSG, what's going on there. La Liga is just not happening.
You think with Barcelona getting 200 million from Neymar that it'll get a ball rolling if they just need to buy somebody within the league and then they'll need to replace that guy who would have to replace that guy. But, as I say, I think it's all waiting on Coutinho to move or Mbappe to move. Once one of them moves, everyone will be looking to replace the attacking midfielder.
I think part of it, though, there is some mitigating factors with Real Madrid at the moment having really good strength and depth, and Atletico Madrid having the transfer ban. So there are some, you know, mitigating factors, I think, with it. I don't think it's just, it's just that La Liga's dead or something.
Well, Real clearly were interested in buying Mbappe, and it seemed like at the beginning of the week, once they found out how much he wanted, a week laughed about it and said go to PSG instead. But is it really like Real Madrid to think, oh, you know, 200 grand a week for a teenager is too much?
I don't know.
Probably the strike options that Real Madrid have got.
It could partly be the tax thing, though, as well, with because, you know, Messi's on about wanting to leave, and Ronaldo as well. You know, maybe that's a factor in it as well, to think about it.
I think with somebody coming from Monaco where they don't pay tax,
on at Monaco at the moment?
Yeah, but to get the same amount of money in Spain, they probably have to pay him at least £150,000-£160,000 a week just to break even. That's how much he's getting now.
Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy money, isn't it?
Anyway, you'll talk about European football on the European Football Show next week.
Okay.
Right, so
I think we've been told to...
Everton have completed the record signing of midfielder Gylfi Sigurdsson from Swansea for a fee believed to be about £45 million. He completed a medical yesterday. Is this a transfer that could have happened a month ago? Because didn't he offer £45 million a month ago?
He's a very good, good level player. He's not a... I think it just shows what's happened in the Premier League money-wise, this transfer market, when Gylfi Sigurdsson moves for £45 million. Now, he's not a £45 million player.
Yeah, I agree. He's clearly a good player, but he's not worth 45, as we say. But I believe last season he created the most chances of anyone in the Premier League. And, you know, as a counter-argument... he created a lot of chances, and Swansea clearly didn't want to sell him, you know, so they determined the price. And when you look at the price, you know, other teams have demanded for their players these crazy prices. It's hard saying on one hand he's not value for money, but then you look at all the other transfers, and that means virtually nobody is value for money, then, by that argument.
No, probably have it in one of the quizzes in a bit about the Premier League transfers. I was going to do other leagues, but clearly after Chris's just performance, I might pick an easier league. But you know, you compare him to what else has gone, and it's about right compared to what else has happened this summer. But it's just what's that's what is wrong this summer. There's talk of Chelsea buying Danny Drinkwater for 40 million.
Mm.
You know, Juventus have just bought Matuidi for 18 million.
Yeah.
Is Danny Drinkwater worth twice as much as Matuidi?
From the English quota, he might be.
Chelsea have just loaned out about 6 under 20 World Cup winners.
Yeah.
He'll keep one of your decent young English players instead of buying Danny Drinkwater.
That's not the Chelsea way. They need, to be fair, they need a midfielder, and him and Kante's a proven partnership in the middle, obviously. I think he's obviously not a £40 million midfielder. No, you know, it'd be foolish to suggest that, but he's a good midfielder. And I don't know. I think if Bakayoko doesn't settle in straight away, then he's not a bad choice in the middle, I don't think.
Because yeah, once the season starts, you kind of want to get a player in who knows the league and can start well.
I think they had that player already beforehand, and he was called Nemanja Matic.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and Matic's the fantastic midfielder.
Would you say that Matic and Drinkwater are on equal level if they're both £40 million midfielders?
Oh, of course they're not. Of course they're not.
To be asked what is going on at Chelsea if you let Matic go at the same price as you'd then buy Danny Drinkwater.
Well, here's the question, because does Conte have control of the transfers? Because, from the looks of things, he didn't want Matic to go. Is he actually in control of the transfers to the club or not? Because I don't think he personally would happily, say, yeah, let's get Drinkwater for 40 million. He'd probably much rather have someone like a Matuidi, for instance, to give you an example, or somebody else.
Be drinking Kvassi, never mind water, for 40 million.
Going
back to Sigurdsson, though, what Everton seems to. They've bought a lot of players, obviously, in over the summer. They seem to be buying quite a lot of quite pedestrian players.
I said, how many of these signings do you think would get in the top six, Ard?
It's difficult, isn't it? I think Michael
Keane possibly will get a regular place in most of the top six, but
he'd definitely get a place at City, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael Keane's great. Who else? David Klaassen probably could. I don't know. David Klaassen maybe. Well, get to Chelsea clearly for one. I don't know. Sigurdsson's a very difficult one because he was obviously fantastic as the big fish in a small pond at Swansea. It'd be interesting to see how he does it. Can he be like an Eriksen or someone like that, or an Ozil, say, or De Bruyne, and create lots of chances in that sort of team, or will he just not be the star player anymore? Sigurdsson's a hard one to rate, I think.
See, he did flop when he moved to Spurs, didn't he? And then he had to move back to Swansea.
Odd as well for what's going to happen to Ross Barkley, because there doesn't seem to be people knocking on the door at Everton to get him.
I can't believe he wasn't offered as part of the deal.
Well,
possibly 30 million plus Barkley.
I think the thought is they want 30 million for Barkley, because I think Spurs are interested, but I don't think many clubs are interested in Barkley for 30 million. I think, if they offered him out for 10 or 15 million, half the Premier League would have snapped their hand off, but they're not. They want the best fee, which is fair enough, I suppose. They want 30 million, which I think's silly money for Barkley, but that's what they want.
It's not anymore, though, is it? It's 30 million silly money for what is one of the, on the stats, we talked about Sigurdsson being the top provider in the Premier League, but Ross Barkley was the top young provider in the Premier League last year. I think across Europe, he was actually the top.
You can't seriously tell me that Drinkwater's a joke at 40 million and but Barkley for 30 is not. I think 30 million for Ross Barkley is crazy, personally. Especially when you consider his contract is up at the end of the year, and I'm sure there'll be a queue of clubs to sign him then.
I'm saying in this current market, 30 million isn't a lot for an English under 23-year-old.
Yeah, but who's got a spare 30? It's easy to say a team like Everton or Tottenham have, but,
what's 30 million buy you in this current market? In the Premier League?
Steve Mooney was a lot less than that, and he's made a fantastic start at Huddersfield.
Jordan Pickford was 26 million.
Yeah.
Do you think he was only that price because they got him so early? If they tried to go for him now, do you reckon he'd throw another 10 million on top of that. How crazy it's got. That's it.
I know he's not been, he's not been on the curvature of keeping improving as initially it was thought with Ross Barkley. But there was, just only a year ago, there was talk of Chelsea taking him for 50 million.
Yeah.
Mm. I think the difference with Pickford, though, as well, sorry to pick up on that, is if Everton had not gone for Pickford, there was clearly would have been other interest. With Barkley, I don't think anyone's that bothered about it. I don't see a club willing to cough it up. I think it's definitely, with Ross Barkley, it's the seller. There's just the seller, and nobody wants to match that price. Whereas with, say, Pickford or whoever else, there's clearly a lot of buyers interested in him, which I think makes a difference. Because, had Everton said no, we're not going to pay 30 million, some other club would have done, or paid, at least in the 20s.
Can there have been a big rush for Pickford?
I think there should have been. Well, there should have been. Yeah, he's clearly the best young goalkeeper. He was amazing last season. He was absolutely fantastic, and he made a very good start at Everton at the weekend.
I think if you compare him to like the likes of the keeper City bought in Ederson for 36 million, it was a good buy. But he's still the second most expensive keeper in the world. There's a lot better keepers out there than Pickford still.
But playing in the Premier League, as we've seen, keepers can sink or swim. Claudio Bravo came to Manchester City, and everyone thought he'd be this amazing goalkeeper, and he had an atrocious year. I think with goalkeepers, more than anyone, I'd argue, in the Premier League, it's a completely different ball game. De Gea could have failed. He did initially. He obviously came back. Now he's one of the best goalkeepers. But, having a goalkeeper that's Premier League proven is such a big draw, I think. And, Pickford could be the Everton goalkeeper for the next 10, 15 years. He's only young. I think it's really good business they've done. I don't know many other, 22-year-old goalkeepers as good as him, unless you know some I don't.
Someone at AC Milan that's only about 17.
Yeah, you're not getting in for 30 million now, are you?
Do you want to talk about another player who's Premier League proven? As a Johnny Evans, who's been linked with an £18 million move to Man City. Twitter's been a bit up and uproar about this.
He's not a fashionable name, but he's a fantastic defender.
I think if they're planning to play the three at the back, as it's rumoured, having him on the left of the three is a great move, I think. Mm.
He's reliable. I wouldn't say he's top draw.
Okay. I think he was very unlucky at Man United not to go through to the become a first teamer. I think he was clearly good enough. Same with Michael Keane, really.
He did have a couple of seasons where he was one of the first choices.
Yeah.
And he just kept making mistakes at United.
He's been solid as a rock for West Brom though. I can't think of many defenders last season who defended better than him. You can talk about these fashionable defenders who bring the ball out well and that, but defensively, he's as solid as anything for me. I think for 18 million for a Premier League proven, as going back to that earlier point, I think 18 million is a good buy. So
he's still in his 20s. I think he's only 28, 29.
To me, the reason he's 18 million and he's played for West Brom for a few years, that's his level.
Well, Arsenal wanted him last year, but West Brom refused to sell him. See, I think he only offered 10 million.
Arsenal go for stupid defenders half the time.
Yeah, but if you always go for fashionable defenders, you end up with people like Mengala for 30 million who can't do
anything. Yeah, well, they bought that Gabriel and then they've shipped him out again.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went through a patch of deciding that Mikel Silvestri was the defender to sort them out.
I was thinking, if you wanted someone who's reliable and nowhere near a company's level, but you can do a job when company's not fully fit, Johnny Evans is probably for 18 million.
I think the problem with Johnny Evans is he's not got a fashionable name.
No.
He sounds like, he just sounds like a British footballer. He doesn't have this, Evansinho or something.
And he'll come under the homegrown. What's it called? For the Champions League.
The quota.
I was trying to think of the word. Right, Man United are in talks to re-sign Zlatan for the second half of the season, according to Jose Mourinho.
I think I mentioned it last week, that about Zlatan, that a player of his ability and knowledge. He's clearly a very intelligent player, and he has just that presence. If he be in the dressing room and on the training pitch, helping like the likes of Rashford again for another year and forward, then that's, I think, just great for Rashford. Mm. Able to learn from one of the best strikers the world's seen for the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree. He's been at the club, hasn't he, the whole time, like even after his contract expired. He's been around, you know, recovering from injury. And yeah, I presume once he's able to train, he'll train with the club, and you know, as long as he can, you know, train to a reasonable level, and it's, I think, you know, we can assume he probably will, then he'll get offered a contract, which I think he probably, you know, he deserves. He's handy to have around. And yeah, as Richard says, to agree with his point, you know, players like Rashford and Martial as well, and even Lukaku to some extent, will definitely learn something with Zlatan around.
He comes across as a very positive person as well. I know that he's been, and perhaps he said a few bad things about Pep Guardiola over the years, but when you see him with other players at United, they're always just happy to be around him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they do perhaps need those leader figures at United at the moment. With having Valencia as captain this year, who's not that big a personality. Mm. And obviously Rooney going in the summer. They do need a few big personalities to raise the dressing room at times when it's perhaps, you know, they've perhaps just had a loss against City, etc.
Right, so in part three, we'll be discussing when should the transfer window close. But first, we're going to do the second round of Under Pitch.
Well, now we're going on to the Chinese League transfers. we're not really. Well, we do have Serie A and the Bundesliga, but to make it so that Chris can actually answer it, we'll go with the Premier League.
Yay.
So I want the top 10 transfers that have happened in the Premier League. Number 10 is actually a joint effort, so there is actually 11 players in total. Chris can go.
As of today, yeah. Okay.
As of, now.
Okay, I'll go Sigurdsson.
Yep, he's number 7 on the list. It's quoted as being 44.46 million on the transfer market.
Lukaku.
The top one at the moment, quoted at 76.23 million.
Matic?
Matic is in there at number 8, 40.23.
Morata.
Morata, yep. Number 2, 58.5.
Lacazette?
47.7.
I've got the easy ones out of the way now. We're here for quite a bit. I'm not sure if it was quite enough. No. I will say Bakayoko to Chelsea.
He's joint 10th, 36 Ooh. Million.
That would be close.
Klaassen, was he 30 something?
I thought he was 25 or something.
Yeah, Klaassen is 18th on the list, unfortunately. 24.3.
So 30. So we need players in the 30 millions. How many have we got left? There can't be many left to get, is there?
You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 left.
Okay. It's a tricky. Still up there for you. I was trying to think who Tottenham have signed, but that's not getting me very far.
No.
Mohamed Salah.
Good call. He's 9th on the list, 37.8.
Oh. I thought he'd be the other joint 10.
There's one club that you pretty much actually between.
Kyle Walker.
Kyle Walker, yeah, 45.9.
Oh, of course, I completely forgot about City. who else have they got? Oh yeah, he was a fortune, weren't he? Mendy was 50 million or something stupid, wasn't he? Yeah,
yep.
Mendy's my...
The most expensive defender of all time, as it currently stands, 51.75 million.
Is he worth that much?
Well, he's a defender that spends most of the time, like Kyle Walker, in the other half of the pitch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's your man crush called? Bruno. Oh, what's his surname?
Wait, that's my man crush of Bruno. Isn't that the comedy video?
Is Bruno his first name or surname?
I never keep meaning, though.
What's his surname? Bruno.
And he's not Bruno.
I know. What's his name?
Bruno? What team did he go to?
It's not Bruno.
It's not Bruno. I just can't think of his name. He came from Monaco. He went to City and his name. And he's attacking midfielder and Hero loves him. And his name is...
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think of him.
Oh, I do.
What's his name?
He's got a namesake at City. Bruno, the other name. There's someone else at City with the same name.
He's not quite gold.
Oh, I have to give up. I can't think of his name.
He's not quite gold. He's not bronze.
Silver. Yeah.
Bernardo Silva.
Bernardo. I thought it was close to Bruno. Bernardo Silva.
I think that wraps it up that Anthony's won.
Yeah.
The
Edison, the goalkeeper, we mentioned earlier, was not the missing one.
He was joint 10th for the first win.
We didn't even think of City until... Well, I didn't even think of City until you brought it up. I was going through the teams thinking Chelsea, Tottenham, Liverpool...
Going down. Southampton just broke their record. What did these side thingy for?
All of the top 10 are City transfers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had a disaster week. It's slightly better than that.
We might move on to the Serie A top transfers. Did you name any one of the Serie A ones?
No.
How much is it?
The top transfer is 37.8.
The striker who went to...
Juventus bought somebody this week.
I can't think of that, but Andre Silva, you know, a load of the Milan ones have got to be up there. Yeah. Vecino, maybe, to Inter.
Yeah.
Is he top 10? I don't know.
Just list the
Milan transfers. Bonucci, of course.
AC Milan have number 1, number 3, number 4, number 7, number 11, 12, 14. They've got a fair few.
Spent an absolute fortune, haven't they? So,
players of the 90s. I'm good at that. I've got Premier League players of the 90s. Oh, I always go do them quizzes on Facebook.
He got himself an AC Milan kit for this season.
Right, congratulations, Anthony. Like, you wiped the floor with me then.
Hi, this is Dan Collymore, and you're listening to the V2 podcast.
So, this week there's been a lot of discussion about when the transfer window should end. So, before we get into the story, when do you think it's the best time for it to finish?
I think it should, in dream world, it should end before the football starts, before the season starts, really, is the, for me, but that's dream world.
So should it open, like, beginning of June and end of July?
It should open, basically, after the end of the season, and then it should, close in at the start of the season, like, before the football's played, but that's me living in dream world.
All the leagues start at different times, so does there need to be a date? In Europe,
close it at the start of August. Say the league start on the 5th, 6th. I think was the earliest European leagues to start. So say it closes, I don't know, the 3rd of August or something like that, 4th of August.
Scottish league starts earlier.
Okay, all right. We'll base it on the major leagues, on the English, French, German, Spanish, Italian, the big five, and say it closes before then, I suppose. But yeah, I think in principle you should close it before the main. Before the football starts, really. But that's me living in dream world.
See, for me, I'd go the complete opposite and just not have transfer windows.
I like to how it used to be, where it used to close about 8 games before the end of the season, if I don't know.
Yeah. Well, my favourite transfer of all time, Eric Cantona from Leeds to Manchester United. That would never have happened nowadays.
Do you not think it's crazy, though, with the...
important date, like, what happens in your job? Can you only move at certain points in the year?
No, but there's not a mass people moving between flooring companies, to be honest. It's not like, well, I'd love it if they're all bidding for my services and paying $40 million for me, but that doesn't happen, unfortunately.
Should it be the case of
I'd like to see managers, yeah, I would actually. I'd love to see a transfer window for managers as well. But, you know, that's not going to happen. I think, for me, the ideal thing would be where there's no football played, because you look at, you know, Coutinho, Van Dijk and numerous others who are putting transfer requests, not playing for their clubs, and it's disrupting their clubs. It's not. You cannot seriously tell me you think it's right what's going on.
They'd still put in the transfer requests.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be affecting the football. If the deadline was, say, before the Premier League season started, they'd know, right, there's nothing I can do. I've got to put my head down and play football because I've not moved. I'm at Liverpool or at Southampton or wherever until the next transfer window. So I've just got to play football.
I'd like it where there was a European...
I think day and age, some of them just don't care that if they just get put on the bench until January.
This is a World Cup year. Do you think a lot of players, I think... I'm surprised with a lot of it's happened so much this summer because it's a World Cup year, so they think.
You saw at Barcelona a couple of seasons ago, and now the same with Atletico Madrid. They'll have a transfer ban. They'll still go out and buy players that can't then play until January, but they're happy just going on the training pitch for 6 months.
Yeah, or get sent out on loan for 6 months like the guy at Atletico.
Yeah, well, the two that joined Barcelona a couple of seasons ago, was it Ribert? Players that joined. Well, they just
Arda Turan one.
Yes, he was one of them, and they just stayed on the training pitch for 6 months, and that just happened in this league now.
You can't tell me you think that's a good thing that's happening.
Well, that's why I just have it so that there isn't any transfer window.
It's so disruptive, and I know I can make a good point actually. An example, I think it'd be so disruptive. Could you imagine if Coutinho, you know, putting a transfer request in March or something, you know, or you know, say, you know, for argument's sake, say Liverpool are going for the title, or top four, whatever. Well,
that happened a couple of years ago when United bought Andy Cole from Newcastle.
Exciting.
Okay, so. I can't support that. I'm sorry.
I would have it where there was a European deadline, but between your domestic league, you can have transfers for most of the season to keep the money.
Any transfer deadline would have to be agreed for me for it to work. It'd have to be Europe wide, or it doesn't happen really.
Well, that's not going to be the case.
Sorry?
That's not going to be the case, though, is it? It's, at the moment, that it's been voted on is just by the English clubs, and
that's.
Do you think that's going to be a benefit to English clubs that we can't buy players? No, that's why I said in Dream World, that's what I'd do.
Because, yeah, unless it's approved by the major European leagues, then no, it's, you know, we can't support it. No, of course not.
I listened to an interview with Karen Brady from West Ham, and she says that 17 out of the 20 clubs agree with having a window that closes before the season starts. Is that a surprise?
I know Watford disagree with it. Yeah. I think it'd be hard because I think all the clubs like the idea in principle. I think the concern is Europe. So it's a case of, do you think we can almost set a precedent and Europe can follow, or will it just be us standing alone? I don't want to get too political on it, but you know, I think that's what, for me, what the question would be.
And what about the clubs that, you know, you've put this agreement in place. Once the season starts, you can't sign anyone until January.
Yep.
Then 2 weeks into the season, one of your top players gets it. You know, a season long injury.
Okay.
Or comes out and says, "I'm not happy here. I'm homesick. I want to go home."
Yeah.
You're stuck until January. You're absolutely scuppered.
So what's the difference between that happening now and that happening on September the 5th?
Well, you at least have got an extra month. You can see the season started. You can see what's happening with your team.
Harry Kane, he's pivotal to Spurs. Let's give him an example. There's no difference between getting injured now for the season as there would be if he got injured September the 5th in the two different scenarios.
Boy, there's 4 weeks difference.
Yeah, but he's still out for the season. Spurs desperately need a striker. I don't see the difference.
Well, in what I'd want, no transfer ban.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, with the transfer window moving to before the season, I mean...
But in the case
there's no difference in terms of no transfers being allowed at all times, yeah, then that's fine.
In the difference of what it is currently to what it is now, the current situation is that a team can go into a season, you know, they've got 4 weeks in which they can see if what their plan is for the season is working or not, or if they do need to make last-minute adjustments. Now, I know that it can be the effect that a team will suddenly come in for one of their players and they have to make changes, but it also allows the team itself to make changes. If something isn't working, you can address it before you know, you've lost half the season.
Yeah.
There has been some research done by the betting company Bwin. He said that 7 out of the 10 biggest transfers over the last 5 seasons have happened after the season's start. So Bale went to Madrid, Di Maria joined United, so did Martial, De Bruyne and Otamendi joined City, and Ozil and Mustafa joined Arsenal, all after the season started.
I think it's a bit of desperation in there, you know, because the season started and... you look at transfer deadline day, you get some crazy fees paid for players there because it's a desperation thing, you know, because they need players or whatever.
So over the last 5 years, 12% of the whole summer's transfers happened on transfer deadline day.
I could make I could add a new layer to this as well, because Arsene Wenger said it a few years ago about Juan Mata. He said that it's unfair that they have to play against Mata 3 times in a season because... He played for Chelsea twice against Arsenal, and then when he moved to United in January, he then played Arsenal again. You know, if you don't have a transfer window, you could have that sort of scenario, especially in title run-ins and stuff.
But that had to happen with the January transfer window anyway.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It happens in January transfer. It'd be a far more exacerbated situation if you didn't have this transfer window, as you're suggesting.
But I think it's going down an area, I can see them ending up getting rid of the January transfer window as well.
Just having summer. Well, have like an emergency sign in case.
I think, or you go through the style. To be honest, I think they'll end up being a winter break, and I think there'll be a time to buy players then, and there'll be a time to buy players in summer. But before the season starts would be my
Because certain managers just ignore the January transfer window. Like Mourinho's never really gone for it. And just sort of says, you know, January is not the time to be buying players.
I think that's right. I think
sort of self-impose it.
I think unless you have to, you absolutely, if a star player becomes available or whatever, or you know, a player you're scouting suddenly gets a lot of interest from clubs or whatever. I think it's rare that January business works out because you're looking at players not to do a job in that season, but the following season. You look at the case of teams in the relegation battle who are...
It's usually relegation battle, people have brought in a new manager they want.
And it can sometimes, in actual fact, upset the apple cart. If things are working as they should and you suddenly put a new element into that team, it can suddenly change the dynamic of it and it all goes wrong. You know, the biggest example, that's when Newcastle were top of the league. Against Man United going into the last few weeks, and they bought Faustino Espria.
Yeah.
And it all went wrong for them.
Yeah. Well,
they had a perfect with just Les Ferdinand playing up front with Peter Beardsley off him. And then they tried trying to fit both of them into the team, and it just didn't work, did it? So. I'd have it so. Hello? I'd have it so there'll be a European, a worldwide deadline. Before the season starts, and then you can buy within your own division up until January.
Would that not make Premier League prices even crazier though? If because at the moment, say Sigurdsson for example moves at 45 million, at the moment Everton have the option of getting Sigurdsson or some player from a foreign league. That would then restrict that option, and then they might.
It doesn't have to be from a Premier League club. It can do anywhere other than England. So rather than looking abroad, you might look at a player in the Championship and bring him up.
That's a good point. It'd be very good for the Football League for signing players from there, because I'd like to see more Football League players getting a chance at Premier League level, to be fair. Yeah, that's a good point.
The thing you have as well is if you try to impose a worldwide set period, is that, that's fair enough for the English League if the English League is going to start on say, the 1st of August each year.
Mm-hmm.
But the Brazilian League's already is a completely different season. The
yeah.
Scandinavian teams play in a different...
The Irish play in the summer. I didn't know why I said worldwide. I meant European.
Well, even within in Europe, you've got the Scandinavian leagues play at a different time. The Russians do.
Are there any significant signings that will be made from the Russian or Scandinavian leagues? You know, it's not like they're one of the major players in Europe when it comes to, you know, signing the top players.
Well, Russian leagues every now and again have a bit of a mafia induced splurge of cash.
But I personally think that, yeah, you know, it'd be nice if all European leagues were the same, but at the end of the day, most of the top players are in, you know, England, France, Germany, Spain, Italy, and I think that's, you know, worked to that system. And yeah, maybe it's tough on the Scandinavian leagues, but that's the way it is, I'm sorry, but yeah, I don't know, there would be a way of working it out anyway to sort that out, I'm sure.
Shall we bring that one to a closing? We're well over our hour.
I don't think I've got anything to add on that.
Alright, so before we go, what happened on the 72 show this week?
I had a few technical difficulties, but you can listen to a really great interview, actually. Nick Davey had a chat with Omar Eitzer, spoke about Leyton Orient and how they're still alive, and about how things went for him last season. The EFL trophy, which has all the academy sides, Steve Bruce under pressure at Villa. I don't want to repeat the whole 72 show again, but yeah, it was a really good show.
I really enjoyed it.
They're the main talking points, really, and yeah, good show, and Omar was a great guest.
One quick programming note to next week to our listeners who are fans of WWE. Me and Nick will be reviewing the NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3 and SummerSlam. So, which means there won't be any V2 football podcast next week, but there will be a Hipster's Guide to Europe, where the lads will review all the biggest stories in European football. I'm sure one of them will be Mbappe to PSG.
To who?
PSG. He's gone. So what he said is goodbyes.
Mbappe, Cavani and Neymar is an incredible front three, isn't it?
The good, the bad and the ugly.
Thanks for joining us tonight. Please follow us on Twitter. It's at V2Football. And check out our website. It's v2football.com. It's good night for me. And it's good night for the lads.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.